Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. King David is the author of Psalm 41. He wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. However, the one who is actually speaking in Psalm 41 is Jesus himself. He is a speaker. We even heard that fulfillment because he speaks of Judas, which we'll talk about that in a few weeks, but it was quoted in our Passion reading concerning Judas as Psalm 41 was quoted. So Jesus is the one speaking. And when he begins Psalm 41, Jesus spoke a beatitude concerning those who consider him as the poor one. When St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about godly stewardship, he then also wrote about Jesus. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." So even though St. Paul was writing to encourage generous giving, he spoke of Christ who became poor for us so that we might be exalted by him. How did he become poor? Are we talking about finances? I mean, Paul was talking about finances for giving to the Lord, but when using Jesus as an example, he wasn't talking about Jesus' own financial ability or lack thereof. But instead, when St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he spoke about Jesus being made a curse for us. And when he wrote to the Philippians, Paul wrote that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So tonight, after hearing last week this beatitude, blessed are those who consider the poor one, that is, blessed are those who consider Jesus, we then hear in verse 3 that the Lord sustains him, the one who considers the poor one, so this is the believer, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. That's what Jesus says concerning those who consider him. You see, the hand of God remains at work in his creation. Sometimes people are tempted to think that, well, sure, God got things going, but then the laws of nature and physics have kept everything going since then. But that cannot be further than the truth. Because the very hand of God is at work in our everyday lives. Every day, all the time. He holds all things together. He sustains the sick and he restores the ill to health. In our reading tonight from Matthew chapter 8, we can see examples of Jesus himself doing that when he was conducting his ministry. The Roman Catholic Church claims that Peter was the first pope. But here we learn that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. So the idea that they had to be celibate and not ever marry doesn't quite work if they want to claim Peter as the first pope, which of course Peter is not the first pope. But Jesus, the main point is, healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then people brought to Jesus those who were possessed by demons and those who were sick, and Jesus cast out the demons, and he healed the sick. Fulfilling the words of Isaiah, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. When speaking of healing, the order is also set straight in our other two readings, the one by King David in Psalm 103, and then the one by James, the brother of our Lord, as he wrote to the church. In Psalm 103, we heard, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. forgiveness, healing. Same with James. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Again, we hear about this forgiveness, and then we hear about healing. I think many times we turn these things around. People want to see the healing for their loved ones, but they don't always see the significance of the forgiveness of sins for their loved ones. There's a temptation, I think, to look at forgiveness as something that is secondary, that maybe it's only needed right before a person dies, and then they look at healing as something that is primary, something that is needed right now, because if only a person could be healed, then he would have immediate relief. It seems to me that when people spend time in prayer, which is a good thing, and we are to pray about all things, but when they do so, they often spend more time praying for the health of individuals and less time for those who might be spiritually sick or do not have the faith. I think this happens because it's easier to see the distress that people have in their sickness than it is to see spiritual distress. And it can also happen when we do not realize that God will truly judge to hell those who do not believe in Jesus. When we don't want to believe the upcoming judgment, we won't think much about forgiveness, and instead we'll focus on those who are sick and injured and recovering. Again, it's good to pray for both of these needs. God also teaches us the right way. We certainly know how blessed we are when we receive temporal relief through healing. We are glad when our illnesses are restored to health. We are pleased when a time of suffering has come to an end. But compare temporal illness or temporal health with what we receive in eternity. We confess in the Catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. When we have forgiveness from Christ, we have something that lasts beyond our temporal lives. We have something sweeter than good health. We have the promise of an eternity with Christ in the new creation. Remember the words of St. Paul. He writes in chapter 8 of Romans, which is excellent to read whenever a person is going through a time of affliction. He wrote, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." How great are our sufferings? Put it on a measuring stick, and then put it next to the glory that will be revealed in us. And what we have that will be revealed to us is far greater than the extent of the sufferings that we endure. Thankfully, though, God does not force us to simply choose one or the other. He has and does bring about healing. He sometimes chooses to let people endure their afflictions, but he always makes forgiveness available. Regardless of the faith of individuals, the Lord can sustain those on their sickbed and restore them to full health. However, not all are received into heaven. When God works faith in the sinner through his word, that person is forgiven and he is cleansed of his sin and righteousness. You see, Jesus paid for the sins of the entire world through his substitutionary atonement on the cross. He shed his innocent blood as a payment for all our sin, so that we sinners are set free from our sin, so that we can be forgiven, acquitted, counted as righteous before God. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," he truly earned forgiveness for all people. In doing so, he justified the world, acquitting it. But this forgiveness must be received individually by faith. And God works this faith through his word. And so this is what we need the most. God can use our afflictions and our diseases to draw us near to him so that we would listen to his word and so that we would receive the forgiveness of sins and with it eternal life and salvation. Consider those who spend their entire lives blind, lame, deaf, in pain, or in constant sickness. When they are baptized children of God who continue in the faith, they will be restored at the resurrection just like the rest of us Christians. But those who spend their lives chasing after healing and relief without considering Christ and his forgiveness, without considering the poor one, as Psalm 41 says, they will not receive the eternal relief that Jesus came into the world to earn and to offer. Of course, Jesus works his healing hand upon all people. Christians and non-Christians alike can and are healed of scrapes and bruises, of injuries and illnesses, of surgeries, and also of severe sicknesses. Just as God sends rain upon the just and upon the unjust, so also does he send healing for all people. And you can see it, whether they're personally forgiven or not. Yet Jesus in today's psalm teaches us how blessed the sick are who consider him, because he sustains them in their sickness. He can restore them, if not in this life, then in the life to come. In our reading from James, the faithful are urged to pray. James gave Job as an example of one who suffered immensely. James spoke of how God works and responds to prayer like he did for Elijah. And God's people are instructed to ask their pastors to come and pray for the sick. Recall the words of James who wrote, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders," that is, pastors, "of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." I must admit, I've always found it to be curious that people call on doctors to provide for them help, but then at the same time, they might be unwilling to call on their pastor to pray for them, figuring that somehow their pastor is going to figure it out and show up. Sometimes people even express anger when their pastor doesn't show up, even though they didn't tell their pastor. But pastors are not omniscient. They need to be told, as James says here. And when we look at the examples in the Gospels, we can see that they brought word to Jesus, or they brought the sick person to Jesus. So he himself was informed. Now, James mentioned something that sounds a little foreign to most of us Lutherans, and that is, in addition to the pastors praying over the sick, to anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord. James is not introducing some sort of new sacrament. The use of olive oil to anoint the sick is an apostolic custom, but it is not a command. It's not something that we see as instituted by Christ. But yet there is a right to anoint oil in the Pastoral Care Companion, which I thought I left one here, but I guess I brought it back with me. Pastoral Care Companion is a little book. It's the same color as the Lutheran service book. And I use it when I go and visit people. And there's many different occasions, many different situations that are found there with scripture readings and prayers. And right after the rite for, or right in the rite for visiting the sick, after the confession and absolution, is this optional portion for anointing oil. So as part of that rite, this passage that we heard from James is read, and then the pastor says the name of the person and says, "You have confessed your sins and received holy absolution. In remembrance of the grace of God given by the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism, I will anoint you with oil. Confident in our Lord and in love for you, we also pray for you that you will not lose faith. Know that in godly patience, the church endures with you and supports you during this affliction. We firmly believe that this illness is for the glory of God and that the Lord will both hear our prayer and work according to his good and gracious will." And then the instructions are that the pastor, using his right thumb, he anoints the sick person on the forehead while saying, "The Father, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting." When a little bit of oil is applied to the forehead. The context for this rite is first the confession and absolution, then the word of God, and then also prayer. And then following these, as desired by the sick person, would come Holy Communion. I must admit, this is not a practice that I have been carrying out, although it's one that is certainly interesting to consider. Tonight's Passion reading took place on Maundy Thursday as our Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. The sacrament is intended to strengthen our faith, to unite us with Christ, and to forgive our sins. Our souls are the primary beneficiaries, yet our bodies also benefit as we are united to Christ and we are prepared to live in body and soul eternally with our Lord. And so we believe, teach, and confess in the Large Catechism with respect to the sacrament. We must never think of the sacrament as something harmful from which we had better flee, but as a pure, wholesome, comforting remedy that grants salvation and comfort. It will cure you and give you life, both in soul and body. For where the soul has recovered, the body also is relieved. That's in the Large Catechism. Jesus declares that those who eat his body and drink his blood in faith will live forever. That bodies will be raised up. Body and soul will live together with the Lord forever at the resurrection. And so concerning the sacrament, Luther put it this way. The mouth, the throat, the body, which eats Christ's body, will also have its benefit in that it will live forever and arise on the last day to eternal salvation. This is a secret power and benefit that flows from the body of Christ in the supper into our body, for it must be useful and cannot be present in vain. So, my friends, as our psalm says, the Lord sustains the sick. Our Lord sustains you in the sacrament. So whether we have good health or poor health, whether we have pain or not, whether we have sickness or not, we can be confident of who we are, that we belong to our Savior, who will sustain us, ultimately until that time he raises our bodies to perfection. And so we carry on in faith, knowing that God is for us and that nothing can separate us from his love, no matter how severe the cross or trial or tribulation may be. And we also take comfort in knowing that God will use all things for our good, who are called according to his purpose, even those crosses and trials. As we sang in our office hymn, "Jesus grant that balm and healing." In the fourth stanza, we prayed, "Every wound that pains or grieves me, by your wounds, Lord, is made whole. When I'm faint, your cross revives me, granting new life to my soul. Yes, your comfort renders sweet every bitter cup I meet, for your all-atoning passion has procured my soul's salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.